A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, December 13th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the opposition MDCT says it is moving away from the blame game and coming up with tangible policies and programs. The MDCT says it is moving away from the blame game and coming up with tangible policies and programs that will help alleviate some of the challenges being faced in the country. This comes at a time when the ruling ZANU-PF party, largely blamed for some of the economic challenges, concluded its annual congress in Victoria Falls today.
It was obviously resolved after a very thorough and very fruitful and very lively deliberation by members of the National Executive Committee of the MDC that we should now deliberately move away from this blame game. Everyone now does appreciate that the ZANU-PF government has failed, and the people of Zimbabwe are now actually looking up to us as the virtual government in waiting to come up with policies and programs that will help alleviate, their socioeconomic suffering.
Some pensioners cry foul over the failure by government to pay them timely. They fear this upcoming Christmas season will be a bleak one.
I am Sunday Moyo in Shawani. I'm a pensioner. I've been working in the Blue Cross, I said, for the past 10 years, and I retired in 2006. I have a problem with the salaries. We're told to go to the central salaries at our bank on the 10th of November. I spend the whole day waiting for salaries, and up to now, no salaries at all.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with its Atenda Gumbo. As the year draws to an end, the opposition MDCT says it is moving away from the blame game and coming up with tangible policies and programs that will help alleviate some of the challenges being faced in the country. This comes at a time when the ruling ZANU-PF party, largely blamed for some of the economic challenges, concluded its annual congress in Victoria Falls today. MDC spokesman Obed Gutu says his party met Friday to map the way forward. Efforts to get comment from ZANU-PF were fruitless. Gutu tells us more on the issue.
This meeting took it upon itself to review the party's activities for the year ending December 2015. And the meeting that was held on Friday, the National Executive had an opportunity to discuss, and particularly focusing on the plans for 2016. As you know, we have got a very exciting new document that was recently signed by about 12 political parties, including our own party leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, that is popularly known as the NERA document. This is a document that brought together 12 opposition political parties, in a nutshell, setting out the electoral reforms. It's like a national electoral reform agenda document that clearly sets out the kind and type of electoral reforms that we as the MDC, and now joined by 11 other opposition political parties, are calling for. Because this gave us an opportunity for the national executive members to have a look at the NERA document, and also then to, as a way forward, come up with a trajectory as to how we are going to confine and structure the party's activities in the coming year.
So, bearing in mind that this was an opportunity for you to map the strategy as we approach 2016, what came out? How is the MDC going to make the situation better for the day-to-day life of the Zimbabweans that are looking maybe to your party as a way of salvation?
It was obviously resolved after a very thorough and very fruitful and very lively deliberation by members of the National Executive Committee of the MDC that we should now deliberately move away from this blame game. Everyone now does appreciate that the ZANU-PF government has failed, and the people of Zimbabwe are now actually looking up to us is the virtual government in waiting to come up with policies and programs that will help alleviate, you know, their socioeconomic suffering, that will speak to the deteriorating, as you know, economic situation in the country. As you know, we are faced with a drought already. We are in the mid of December, and the El Nino effect can already be felt in the country. There is a severe heat wave, and experts have already advised the government. Government has been advised. The meteorological department has since advised that we are going to have a very short rain season, and that effectively we are actually going to have a drought. So we are actually going to then come up with policies as regards what are the MDC policies on climate change? What are the MDC policies on alleviating the suffering of the people? We know that there is going to be starvation. What policies are we going to come up with? Obviously, it will not be proper for me to come up with the nitty-gritties of matters of strategy, because obviously that's not quite proper over the radio. But I can assure the listeners listening to me here and now that the policies we have are such that they are speaking to each and every one of the essential issues that affect their lives, to do with the economy, to do with job creation, to do with the issues of the deteriorating power shortage, and our respective portfolio secretaries, our Secretary for Energy, Secretary for Economic Affairs, Secretary for Agriculture, they are going to be tabling policies and holding conferences, clearly articulating our alternative policies to the ZANU-PF policies that have, of course, failed.
That was MDC spokesman Obed Gutu in Harare. Some pensioners are crying foul over the failure by government to pay them timely. They say the upcoming Christmas season is expected to be a bleak one. Efforts to get comment from the finance ministry were fruitless. A pensioner who worked for the government for 20 years tells us more on the issue.
I am Sunday Moyo in Sarani. I'm a pensioner. I've been working in the Blue Cross, I said, for the past 20 years, and I started in 2006. I have problems with the salaries. We're told to go to the central salaries at our bank on the 10th of November. I spent the whole day waiting for salaries, and up to now, no salaries at all. By surprise, people are gathered in the area for the conference, yet we are living in abject poverty, no salaries. I don't know. They think we don't have to look after. We don't have bills to pay, but we have all this to take care of, because well, for this money, so we need to get our bills so that we can pay our bills for the councils. We need to eat. All this is hampering our day-to-day activities here in Sarani. I don't know what's happening at the conference. I didn't expect someone to go for the conference without us being paid our salary, which is our dues. Imagine someone has been working for the past 20 years in an organization, and that today your dues are not given to you in time.
What are the reasons being given for you not having received your salaries yet?
No reasons at all. Government is just quiet. They are living their lives in hotels in Victoria Falls. They can afford to fly people to Victoria Falls, yet we as pensioners, we are suffering. They even went on to give us a different debt to those who they call ex-pensioners, poor veterans, and the widows, given their dues on the 6th, if I'm not mistaken. And the rest, no money at all. I don't know how they expect us to survive. The animal farm issue, I believe, is coming into the fold. Because some people are turning out to be more important than others.
How big is your family and how are you surviving day to day?
I'm surviving on $1 or 50 cents a day. Because I survive on my pension. I bought a wife and 2 kids to look after. Let alone extended family. I've got a mother who is down there in the rural areas. I've got a piece of land where I'm supposed to be killing the land. How can I expect me to pay somebody?
So what is the way forward from your own observation? What would you like to see done?
The best is not for us to look east and forget about the west. We should look all directions where we get assistance. We should trade with the west, we should trade with the east, we should trade with the west. This is a global village. We shouldn't segregate who to trade with. What is Zimbabwe now is a supermarket. We don't grow anything. We are only there to import from South Africa and these Chinese people, nothing else. We are looking.
How much do you get monthly from your pension?
It's not as much as how they expect it, around 250 bags per year. Had it been there, I would discreet around and send for my family. But I'm very interested with 250.
That was pensioner Tonde Moyo in Gishavane. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 13860 and 15460 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. This week, I continue my conversation with Reason Wafawaroa, who was at the helm of the National Youth Service. I continue my discussion asking Reason about the controversy that surrounded the Youth Service program.
Some people began to slogan here, for example, to try and start doing slogans with the trainees, and we said no to that. And it became an issue that we had to handle at a national level to try and correct it, because some people had entrenched beliefs that anyone who said no to sloganeering was not supposed to be in the program. So we had our own issues in that regard. Then secondly, you're talking of graduates themselves. Some people thought this was a program meant to give people jobs, and the only people entitled to such benefits would be people belonging maybe to the ruling. So there was a lot of interference politically in regards to that. But let me also say, we had issues that were happening politically at that particular time. There was no distinction between, no clear distinction between the National Youth Service trainees and the Youth Brigade. From 1980, as some of you would know or might not know, the ZANU-PF has always had Youth Brigades. They have their own uniform. These are youth that also did drills without the help of the conventional army, but with war veterans mainly, led by war veterans, and they were party structures. So we grew up seeing Youth Brigades. So in 2000, the Youth Brigades had their program. They started in 2000, well before the National Youth Service was launched. The National Youth Service was launched in September 2001. But from the time the land reform program started, there were, if you remember, there were reports that there were youth bases, people called them bases, where the youth would be operating from, especially towards elections and stuff like that. So when the National Youth Service started, the training center that was set up, the first one in Mount Darwin, was just treated as another bigger base.
What was done to try and deal with some of those issues?
But we could not really do much in terms of correcting that, because the polarity in the country was so tense. And if you try to correct some of the newspapers and try to write a statement, I remember trying to do that a lot, to say, you can come, we invite them. They even refused to come to the training center in Darwin because they wanted to write what they thought.
With all this controversy, did the program at least achieve some of its purpose?
We did train quite a number of young people, and many of them are a success story in terms of what they gained just by way of national orientation, or the basic survival skills they gained from the people who were training them, and especially entrepreneurship. We got kids in business, and not kids anymore, they're adults, but they started their businesses. Some of them are really good examples. They're quite happy to be cited.
Looking at your time at the helm of the National Youth Service, do you regret maybe what happened, or was it something that was out of your hands?
When I look at it, I have no regrets. I have regrets that it didn't go exactly the way we wanted. I have regrets that there are people that tried to abuse the program. I have regrets that our media did not do justice to try and separate issues at the time. I have regrets that some youths from the program allowed themselves to be abused for political purposes. But having all those regrets, I have pride as well that the concept of the National Youth Service has got an integrity that cannot be tainted within and outside Zimbabwe. It's a concept that has been accepted by other nationalities. How we fail to create this national pride out of it is purely our problem, not the problem of the concept itself. It's not an invention. We are not even the inventors of the program. There are many countries that started this thing well before us, and they are doing very well. So all we need to is to get our balls together and put the program properly. I have personally suffered a lot in terms of the legacy of that particular PowerPoint, to the point of getting summons to be dragged to the ICC. That happened here in Australia, to the point of having big campaigns to get me out of university, to the point of having big campaigns to get me deported from this country. Now, when you go through that, you can do two things. You can say, look, I think this program is going to be tainted and I have to hide under the and make sure I'm not associated with it. Or you have to clear both your name and the name of the program, which is what I've chosen to do, to say, look, there were things that happened which were not part of the plan. But that does not mean that this was a murderous militia deliberately created to just go around. No, we wouldn't have been part of us.
And looking at the original pillars of the National Youth Service, what is your message to that younger generation that you are speaking of?
With or without the National Youth Service training in place, the issue of being patriotic and putting the country first before your own personal interest will help us to walk as one people.
And there, I'd like to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Sure. Thank you so much, Tatenda, and have a good day.
That was Reason Wafawaroa, who was at the helm of the National Youth Service, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next time.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo, for that very inspiring youth forum. And now we go to the music of Reverend Chivaviro and friends with Ebenezer Tirimunyasha.
Nasi toti mururuku matenga Tine mufaro wakawedzirwa shei Munhu wese tambayu Munhu wese imbayu Iti Jehova Madishidza pano
Now to recap on today's top stories. As the year draws to an end, the opposition MDCT says it is moving away from the blame game and coming up with tangible policies and programs that will help alleviate some of the challenges being faced in the country. And some pensioners are crying foul over the failure by government to pay them timely. They say the upcoming Christmas season is expected to be a bleak one. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, December the 13th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.